Welcome to Bridgecast, an online internet broadcast hosted at paulthompsonblog.com. In today's broadcast, Paul may give reviews of books he's been reading, interview friends, explore church history, or consider current events, all with the hope to keep the lamp of Scripture on the narrow path. Listen in as Paul considers today's topic.
Hey, welcome to the debut episode of Bridgecast. I'm pleased to labor at this task for the glory of God and for the help and the edification of the church. I've been blogging at a blog site that I've entitled The Bridge for about 7 years. A subtitle of my blog, The Bridge, is entitled this: Only God Can Bridge the Gap Between His Glory and Your Sin. And so it's at that work through God the Son, Jesus Christ, at the cross that God comes and bridges the gap between His glory and man's sin. It is my primary hope to address the local church who gathers at 204 Eastland Drive North in Twin Falls, Idaho, with extended reflections on the all-sufficient Word of God for the glory of God and for the strengthening, encouraging, and informing and calling of His people to action. It's my hope to encourage fellow pastors, and it's my hope to encourage the church, the professing saints of Christ Jesus abroad, who gather in local houses of prayer and worship, and to submit ourselves to the shepherding work of a God-ordained and God-appointed pastor or shepherd. This pastor or shepherd, you well know this, he labors for your soul as he preaches and pastors in your community. And so I encourage you and exhort you to commit yourself and to submit yourself to that good church that the Lord has ordained in your location. Now, you can contact me with questions or comments at paulthompsonblog.com, and you'll find a contact link there, and you can just send me a question or some comments. And if you have something you'd like for me to address in future episodes, leave me some kind of information there. I'd be glad to consider it. And if you leave questions there, my attempt will be to answer them succinctly and concise and quickly, as quickly as possible. So it'll be the early weeks here will be mostly experimental. However, I've been attempting to be more experimental before I got to this point, long before I come to the debut episode. But just so that you, the listener, understands that things may get tweaked and adjusted and fine-tuned will be my hope over the coming weeks, especially the early coming weeks. But let's go to the topics on hand that I've sorted through and thought through and committed myself to think upon this particular week, this first premiere episode of Bridgecast. So let me start with a reading of James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself, has gone away, and has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, the verse that I want to consider and think upon, the primary verse out of this text, is verse 25. That this of course, is an address. So the whole thing that we've just finished reading out of James chapter 1 is, of course, an address to professing born-again believers. And they're believers in the lordship of Jesus Christ. And by professing, here's what I mean. Here's what I mean by that. They are born again believers through the effectual calling of God the Father. And through the ordained work of Jesus Christ, God the Son, in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, all of this, of course, according to Scripture. And as the work of the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, gives life to his spiritually dead condition, causing man to see his offense to God and bringing men unto repentance. And so it's here that I mean by professing Christian, that you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the audience that James is writing to, this professing, believing, effectually called believer of God and responded with repentance unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the person that James is writing. And when he tells him in verse 25 to look intently at the perfect law of liberty, he tells him to give himself to the meditation of the Word of God. This word is actually a liberating work. This word liberates and calls. So look at it and think upon it just a bit further with me. That this liberating work is that it orders this man's life to chase after God's ordained manner that He's created us unto. The calling work is actually to do this word, to be a doer, not just a hearer. More intently in this manner, to be an effectual doer and not a forgetful hearer. So the reward from God of this to the effectual doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God is that he will be blessed in what he does. But don't get distracted and chase after the blessing. Give yourself to the hearing and the doing. It's likely that many of you listening right now were under the hearing of the preached word this week. Have you forgotten already that word that was preached? Have you heeded the warnings? Have you adjusted your mind? Have you repented of sin? Have you committed to do? Or did that action not even get past the exit sign? Well, think about this a bit with me. Most of us have plenty concerning the word. We live in a land where the word of God is widespread and easily accessible. We may have this word in ample supply, but this word does not dwell in our hearts as deeply as it should. It dwells in us rather poorly, leaving us rather powerless to be an effectual doer. I read once that the church is considered in one of four ways. One, those who enter but do no work. Two, those who work but do not enter. Three, those who enter and work, or fourth, those who neither enter or work. Consider these four approaches that people bring or take to the church or the Word of God. And the first two are indifferent to the Word of God. The Word of God really doesn't have any effectual binding work or edifying building work in their lives. They either enter but do no work, and that's probably a large percentage of the landscape of the church in the Americas, that there are many who enter but do not work. And then there are those who work. This is strange, isn't it? They do the work, but they never gather with the saints. It would be clear that these two individuals are indifferent. The word has had no lasting impact upon them. They neither gather regularly, effectually, to go and do work, or they're indifferent in both cases. Perhaps even one could label them in the criteria of the lukewarm. And then there's, of course, those who do. And our churches do have, and bless the Lord, there is this remnant of souls of the Lord Jesus Christ who both enter and do. They enter the courts of praise, and they exit doing the effectual work that the Word has called them to and set them apart to do. And then there are, of course, those in our land who neither enter nor do the work, and one could just simply see from the evidence of Scripture that this person would be wholly evil, unconcerned or uninterested in either the hearing or the doing of the Word of God. Well, it's time to put your hand to the plow and not look back, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. This work is an informed work. It is an effectual work. It is an ongoing work. It is a work that involves the gathering of believers and with believers. It is a servant's work. It's a humble work. It's a blessed work. Paul, in his letters both to Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae, he exhorts the Lord's people to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so what I hope to do with this segment of the Bridgecast is just simply to take a song that's fairly familiar to at least my church, songs that are familiar to the church at large, perhaps even most of these will likely be older songs, but I think there's good value in newer songs as well. And so we'll let our minds do some reflecting and considering of the songs that we sing that are essentially designed for us to speak to one another and to exhort one another in a corporate way, in a corporate position. So this one is entitled Tell It to Jesus. It was originally written in the German language in 1876 by Edmund S. Lawrence, later translated into the English language in 1880 by Jeremiah Rankin. And likely, especially to the older listener, you will hear this song. The tune will quickly come to you, but I'm less interested in the tune and most interested in the doctrine of the tune, the doctrine of the words that are penned in this manner. So listen to the words, and I'll just read it as though it were written as a poem, as it likely was originally written in this manner. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheek unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to man's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom you are sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other, such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. I want to encourage you, no matter what things your life is facing and what's before you today, that you would, with confidence, tell it to Jesus and tell it to Him alone. So Psalm chapter 6 reads this, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. And my soul is greatly dismayed, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief, it has become old because of my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weepings. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They will suddenly be ashamed. In this next segment, what I hope to do is take some time and consider church history and events or articles or things that are happening in the history of the church. And today what I want to do is take a look at January of 1873, where Charles Spurgeon published an article in The Sword and the Trowel entitled Deeds, Not Words. And what I want to do is read a little bit and then just give a couple of simple reflections and thoughts about maybe even how what he's saying to the church in his day in 1873 and how that might be even still fitting upon us in 2014. He starts the article out in this, and by the way, I'll have a link to the entire article on my blog site related to this broadcast as well, that you can, if you're interested in reading the entirety of the article. It's really quite well. But I would encourage you this. You're going to definitely need to have a good old dictionary around, because you'll come across, maybe you won't, but I certainly will come across and do come across words that I need quick access to a good dictionary. But Charles Spurgeon has these words that he shared in 1873 that I think are fitting for the church in the Americas here today for us as well. He writes this: "A church in the United States lately advertised for a minister and stated that, having been for some years overdone with eloquence, they desire a pastor who would preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are churches on this side of the Atlantic, sickened with essays and intellectual treats, whose aspirations are much the same kind." Well, that's an amazing introduction, isn't it? And I would find what Charles Spurgeon is arguing for in his introduction, in his article, to be as fitting today as any. There are churches in our land that are hungry and thirsty for the gospel. Not a gospel of man, but a gospel of Christ. The gospel that Paul preached. The gospel unfolded from the pages of Scripture. There is a hungry, there is a thirsty church that longs to hear preachers and soul winners who would rather preach and do the effectual work of this word than to give simple little sermonettes and fancy little essays. Later in the article, about two paragraphs later, Spurgeon says this: "The intensely practical character of Christianity might be inferred from the life of its founder. In Christ we see no display, no aiming at effect, nothing spoken or done to decorate or ornament the simplicity of his daily life. True, he was a prophet, mighty in words as well as in deeds, but his words were downright and direct, winged with a purpose, and never uttered for speaking's sake." Boy, that's a good word for this preacher to hear, that we don't just speak for the sake of speaking, but we speak with simplicity, we speak with directness, we put wings to our words that they would fly straight to the soul of man and lift him to the throne of heaven. Further, Spurgeon makes this argument: "The first champions of the cross," speaking of the disciples, "were also men in whom the truth displayed itself in deeds rather than in words. Paul's role of laborers and of sufferings would contrast strangely with the diary of the reader of pretty little sermonettes, with the biography of the most zealous among us. The apostles were intensely active rather than intellectually refined. They made no pretenses to be philosophers, but thought it sufficient to be servants of Jesus Christ." These words from Spurgeon are straight, they're cutting, they're piercing, they're right, they're timely for the church that is hungry and thirsty to hear, not for the cleverness of men, but for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the truth of God's word to be laid upon the ears of its listeners. This is hitting to the core of what James was arguing for in that text that I read, James chapter 1, isn't it? It certainly hits close to home for this preacher of the word. Back to Spurgeon, he has some more piercing words for us in consideration of this, that we would be doers of the word and not just simply hearers who forget the word. He further says this: "Here is the bone of contention which the earnest man will have with himself. We know what we ought to be, but are we all that? Our neighbors perish for lack of the gospel, but do we carry it to them? The poor, they swarm around us. In what measure do we feed them? To know how to do good and to leave it undone is no small sin. They own their obligations to the poor, but no orphan is fed by their help. They lament the ignorance of all people, but no ministry is aided by their gifts." He says further that everywhere the evil is the same, saying overrides doing. This is the case, isn't it, of our day? We have so many sayers and so many effectual doers. So church, I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you. You've heard recently, you've been under the plentiful proclamation of the gospel. You've been under the teaching of the word of God. It's plentiful in our land. You have it readily accessible to you, and yet we are among the laziest doers on the planet. Oh, dear church of the Lord Jesus Christ, may we arise and be effectual doers. Well, in conclusion, Spurgeon has these good words to us that for consideration. He calls us gentle readers. Has no self-accusing thought crossed your mind while trying to keep yourself awake over these lines? See, he's really pressing in closely, isn't he? He says this further in this concluding paragraph. He says, we have, by God's grace, done something, but how little. It is as nothing compared with high resolves and daydreams and proposals. What are our achievements? Everywhere there is a cry for the gospel, for men to preach it in the love of it, for ministers who will live it and inoculate others with its life. The church is growing sick of essayists and ask for men of God. She is weary of word spinners and pretenders to deep thoughts. And she cries for men full of the Holy Spirit who are lovers of the word and not speakers only. Soul winners will soon be in demand, and your genteel essayist will have to carry their dry goods to another market. Sane men do not need fiddlers while the lifeboat is being manned to save yonder perishing ones from the devouring deep. This is indeed the cry of our own day today. He later writes, the world, like a veteran gladiator, defined the young combatant with fierce terms of hate and gazed upon him with tiger-like ferocity, determined to wash his hands in the intruder's blood, while the church quailed not in the presence of her savage opponent, but avowed her determination to make no terms with sin and accept no truce with idolatry. They meant fighting, and they fought. Spurgeon later makes this argument that a divine of the modern school is of opinion that the lines have faded considerably between what is known as the church and the world. Can you believe this? This is me reflecting back on what Spurgeon just said here. He's telling us today that in 1873, there has been a great blurring of the lines between what was known as the church and what was known as the world. They've been actually moving toward each other, meaning the church has been leaving her position, her God-ordained post of being the truth, of being the pillar of truth and the buttress of truth in her community. She's moved away from that position. And the world has been moving closer from her wickedness. This is kind of a strange dichotomy of what he's arguing for. She still remains as wicked as ever, but she's learning how to present herself more sacred than before. This is really quite fascinating in all respects. This is why I would really encourage you to go and read the entire article that's posted at paulthompsonblog.com. Many professors play at being Christians. They're not real in their church membership, not in very deed separate from sinners, or devoted to the service of God. Hence, the world has no care to oppose them and leaves them utterly ignorant of the very meaning of the word persecution. I found this to be so true in our day today, and I'm sure that in your reflection, in your own assessment of where the church is at, there certainly is a movement in our day to stand firm and to reclaim our positions of being heralders of the truth. But it has largely been lost by many, and we have much ground to make up. And so that's why I'm committing today's podcast to the idea of effectual working, doing the hard work that we're called to do because of the effectual work that the Holy Spirit did in our lives by calling us unto Jesus Christ. One of the most evident weaknesses of most religious societies is lack of practical common sense. Now listen to this. He's going to get real critical. They are great in red tape, rich in committees, and positively gorgeous with presidents and vice presidents and secretaries and honorary secretaries and minute secretaries, etc., etc. What Spurgeon wants to do here is bring contrast between the eloquence of man and the simplicity of the gospel. This is 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 4. The simplicity of the gospel seems like foolishness to men. The weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. The poverty of God is richer than the riches of men. These things stand in contrast to us, and yet men continues to pursue the things of men. Well, Spurgeon is definitely arguing for some important and critical things here. I commit to you to read the entirety of this article. There's so many more things that he'll address and that he comments on and addresses for the church to consider, and calling them to Christ-like service and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, let me read the final conclusion that he comes to. But if God will help us, we will try to glorify him and publish his salvation. To lift up Christ is the real work. To cry, "Behold the Lamb," is the practical ministry. To teach the ignorant, to feed the hungry, to reclaim the lost, this is Christ-like service. What is all else if we serve not the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, so I want to take some time each podcast, perhaps every podcast, to consider some articles of church history, some ponderings and how they fit, and we'll find many of them to be as easily appropriate and applicable to the church today as we find them in the days in which they were written. As a matter of fact, if you'll go and read the entire article entitled "Deeds, Not Works" by Charles Spurgeon, published January of 1873, you'll see that link there on the blog site. Go and read the entire article and be encouraged, be discouraged perhaps even, but mostly be encouraged that the Lord is calling out his church. And that's what I want to be a part of, a call to action. If you don't recall yet the labor that was accomplished by your pastor this week, when you gathered with the saints at your local church this past Lord's Day, then it would be my hope that you would turn back to your sword, your Bible, and reread that text that your pastor preached from this past Lord's Day. And with God's help, recall the words and then ask for the Lord to give you strength to pick up the plow and to effectually do what those words instructed and encouraged you to do. So one last consideration of effectual work to give yourself to praying for the persecuted saints around the world. If you're not already praying for one personally, then may you consider joining me in keeping Boise, Idaho pastor Saeed Abedini in front of believers. You can contact me with information that you can share with your church or with your Bible study or your prayer group or your Sunday school class and from any of those small group meetings that you have, and contact me and ask me how you can more effectually pray for Pastor Saeed and for his family. I'd be glad to share with you some suggestions on how to do that. You can help by remembering those in chains for the sake of the gospel. This is what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 essentially tells us to do, is that for us to remember those who are in chains. If you use, you might consider joining me in using online networking sites to help keep Pastor Saeed in front of believers. I don't go out asking for unbelievers to join me in prayer, and I don't go asking my government to help. I simply am attempting to keep Pastor Saeed in front of God's people, in front of God's praying people who will pray to God and to God alone. And I want to invite you to perhaps consider doing that with me. And you could use your online networking sites to help remind believers to effectually do the work of praying as we remember the persecuted church. And Pastor Saeed, his membership is at Calvary Chapel in Boise, Idaho. And this would be a great opportunity for you to even gather your children together and take opportunity to speak to them about that sometimes the work of the gospel work comes with hardships and difficulties and great sufferings and pain. And it's important that the church in the free world not forget, the church who is experiencing freedom and pleasure in life, not forget those who are in chains for the sake of the gospel work. So, dear church, would you consider joining me? You can find a picture of Pastor Saeed that you can put on the top of your Facebook page, perhaps, or you could write emails to individuals in the media asking them to continue to keep Pastor Saeed in front of Christians, especially Christian publications. Two, for example, that I would recommend and would ask you to join me in contacting and to do so regularly would be to help me in requesting that Baptist Press would keep Pastor Saeed in front of Christians And then also, you'll see contacts and email addresses and even sample letters and how you can do this. If you would also be willing to contact the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention to help keep Pastor Saeed in front of praying people, then you'll find those resources available at my blog and at the bottom of the post for this day where this podcast is published. I would appreciate your help if you'd consider doing that. There'll be you'll find examples of letters that you could write and contact information, email, Facebook, Twitter, phone numbers, all those kinds of things. You find that at paulthompsonblog.com. So listen, thanks for listening today. It's been a pleasure for me. I've enjoyed the attempt at it. We'll have to work out several little bugs along the way, but I'm pretty pleased that we have the first episode wrapped up and concluded for this Monday, January 6th, 2014 Bridgecast. So listen, next week I hope you'll come and join me as I'll interview a friend of mine from Provo, Utah. Russ Robinson is a pastor at First Baptist Church in Provo, and I think you'll appreciate the interview and even get to know this local pastor a little bit better, especially for those who are part of Eastside Baptist Church. If ever you're traveling south and you're in the Provo area you're there on a Sunday, a day where the Lord's people are gathering, I would commit to you this good church, First Baptist Church in Provo, Utah, pastored by Russ Robinson. Or if you're listening or have passed this on to someone in the Provo area, you might consider finding yourself gathering with the saints on any given Sunday at First Baptist Church in Provo, Utah. You'll get to know the pastor as I'll interview him next week here at Bridgecast. So don't prove yourself unfit for the kingdom of God. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back.
Thanks for listening today. Feel free to write Paul with questions or comments related to today's topics. Helpful links can be found at the blog link related to this broadcast at paulthompsonblog.com.